Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to say thanks for all the love and support recently for the 300th episode. It really means a lot to hear everybody was enjoying it and things. So if you missed it, again, it's available still online 24/7 at iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and rockpaperpodcast.com. Be sure to check out the Loft Sessions on Facebook and Twitter for all the videos of the songs and full video of the interview as well. So check that out. And so this week is sponsored by Gaslight over on the hill at Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard. Check them out at GaslightSTL.com. They're also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Come over this week on November 4th. You can see Sister Wizard there. November 5th, Cara Louise. And November 7th, Nick Guzman. So yeah, check these people out. I have a full listings on their website at GaslightSTL.com, like I said. And but yeah, just a lot of wonderful things going on over at Gaslight. Some great recordings are coming out of there. They're supporting all kinds of your favorite locals. There's always a big party going on. So check it out. And I also want to say thank you to Music Record Shop for supporting the show. This episode is sponsored by them. You can come out November 2nd and see Steel City Jug Slammers doing a live in-store over there at their new location on Washington Avenue, right next door to KDHX. And then also mark your calendar for Friday, November 25th. That's Record Store Day, Black Friday. They got all kinds of great exclusives, all kinds of limited edition vinyl and a bunch of other great things. So, but yeah, new records in every Friday over at Music Record Shop. Shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
What's up, planet Earth? This is Scrub, St. Louis, Missouri. You are listening to Rock Paper Podcast, rockpaperpodcast.com.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Yeah, for all the junkers. Check it, I got a ride that's a one of a kind, yo. And she like nothing else you ever could find, though. Treat me right, knows just what I like. No headlights, we don't ever go out at night. She ain't proud and she ain't pretty. Oh, backfire so damn loud, you can't miss me. Inside musty, outside rusty, the whole thing shake over 50. Check it, I try and go and get my girl for a lunch date. A bad battery has got me showing up late. Broke down side of the road, baby, just wait. Pop the hood, I'ma work with the duct tape. I got a hoopty, jalopy, a bucket. Been in a lemon and really I love it. See, hell of a deal, call it wheels on a budget. And no one gon' steal it, cause nobody wants it, yo. I'm so fly, you're my old beater. And so cold, no heater. Old model, no features. I ride around bumping beats out of blown speakers. Me. I said, who wanna put life on the line with me? Yo, I know my car ain't the nicest, and I don't even really own a license. Yo, my muffler dragging, I got a blown tire. Hella trash in the dash is exposed wire. Old girl looking so tired, I'm smelling vapors, man. I think my carburetor's on fire. Is she gonna see another day? I mean, she already kinda been humming in a funny way. And for real, she pushing over 300K. Get her on the open road and she's a runaway. Been through the thick and the thin, the most fickle of friends. Got a fix, now she clicking again. I don't know if I'ma stick to the end, or maybe I should trade it in. Get something that's as quick as the wind. I think I'm making a statement. I'm whooping around all over the pavement. I'm looking the same, but the rest of them ain't. See, I got a car, but no car payment. I'm so fly, you're my old beater. And so cold, no heater. Old model, no features. I ride around bumping beats out of blown speakers. Who wanna ride with me? I said, who wanna put life on the line with me? Yo, I know my car ain't the nicest, and I don't even really own a license. I'm so fly, you're my old beater. It's so cold, no heater. Old model, no features. I ride around bumping beats out of blown speakers. Who wanna ride with me? I said, who wanna put life on the line with me? Yo, I know my car ain't the nicest, and I don't even really own a license.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out tonight with Scrub of Scrub and Ace Ha.
What's up?
Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks, Shane.
I'm very excited about this. This is a very cool one. I don't know, I don't really know a whole lot about you. I know, We have a lot of friends in common and stuff in the music scene of things, and I took notice probably a little while back that a video for Anita Ride came out, and that's when I started noticing the name a lot more. And but yeah, but I was like, we should get together and do this, and I'm glad it worked out, man. So
yes, sir, me too.
Yeah, so thank you very much for inviting me over here. We're recording this here in your studio here.
My lair,
man cave, yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. It's like this is cool down here, man. It's like a time warp.
It's in, yeah, exactly. Inspired by Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Yeah, this is very cool. But yeah, thanks for having me over here. This is I'm excited to kind of get to know you a little better and get to chat and talk about some things going on, man.
That's what's up. Me too.
So I like to kind of go back and do a little backstory and stuff. Anybody that doesn't really know you, just like myself, and I like to learn along the way. And but where does Scrub get started in music and stuff?
Well, I guess musically, I started taking music kind of seriously in when I was at school in Columbia, Missouri, at Mizzou, and had a good friend there, Jay Skills, who was older than me and had been making music for a long time, and he was the first guy to record me at his crib and like show me how to write songs and really craft like hooks and just taught me a lot. And actually, the video you just referenced, Anita Ride, if anybody hasn't seen it, you could check it out on YouTube or millions of other places online. Scrub and Ace High, Anita Ride.
Yeah.
But the car we used in there, this Oldsmobile, was his car.
Yeah.
So he came up and helped me out for that video. We're still real tight. But that's where I started doing it. And then when I moved to St. Louis about 10 years ago, started doing shows here, and I've been through a lot of incarnations over the years. I've played with a band called The Pump for a while. I played with my homie Rob Bass backing me up on a Vintage Rhodes for a while. Played in groups, I don't know, I've done a lot of different things, and so the last 2 years I've been working almost exclusively with my boy Ace Ha here, who we're listening to his beats in the background.
Yeah.
And he's in Los Angeles, and I'm obviously stationed here, but we've made a ton of records, ton of videos getting ready to come out, and so that's all the way to the present. Mm-hmm. And then for the last 5 years I've also been part of the Farfetched local collective.
Yeah.
That was something I was in on day one, so it's always been near and dear to me.
Yeah.
And something I'm still affiliated with, and we're working to try and carry that into the future and really solidify the dream that we've always had for that idea.
Sure. Yeah.
So that keeps me busy. A lot of times, if I'm not performing, I'm helping, you know, plan events and stuff.
Mm-hmm. That Farfetched, just crazy amount of talent on that.
No doubt.
Is luckily I've been able to become friends with quite a few from the collective, and I've had a few on the show, Matthias and the Pirates. Mm-hmm. And Hands and Feet and Cave of Swords.
Yep. So, all amazing.
Yeah.
Proud to call them peers for sure.
Yeah. So I'm like I said, this is a still a fairly new project for me doing the show, but I'm trying to work my way around the city and get all my friends on here. So
that's awesome.
But yeah, this is So when has it always been hip hop then for a lot of it?
Yeah, some of those bands that I mentioned were a lot more. We had at one point we played in a 9-piece lineup. So that was multiple singers, horn players. You know, that was a lot more versatile, I guess. We played a lot of different types of shows, and that was something where I wasn't fronting the thing. I would just more or less come on every few songs and do a song. Played with live bands. I don't know. I always try and have fun. That's
sure.
My thing. So
definitely,
especially when I do live, like it's not too serious. So whether I'm alone or with a band or whatever, we definitely try and do an energy that people can dance to and, you know, let their guard down a little bit.
Right. When, even as a kid, are you writing rhymes and this kind of stuff?
As a kid, I was always writing, for sure. Not rhymes, but always a writer. Right. Always wrote stories. And my mother, who I grew up in her house, we didn't have television. We live way out in the country. But she had like a wall of records, and that was my television. Looking at her blues and soul records and the album covers, and I was just obsessed with them.
Sure.
And listening to music, you know, all the time, playing in our house. So it was natural for me that even though I'd never learned to play an instrument, eventually that's what drew me to hip hop. Is it was making something out of nothing, from beatboxing to breakdancing on the corner to freestyle rapping with no beat. I was attracted to the fact that you didn't have to have money, which I didn't. You didn't have to have, had music classes. You could jump in and do something creative. So it was kind of a blessing, because it was easy for me to connect writing, something I was already had been doing my whole life, with music, something I was obsessed with.
Yeah. What are some of those early records you remember putting on?
Oh, definitely heavy blues collection, Albert King, Muddy Waters, Alan Wolfe, all the classic blues singers, and my mom likes the kind of gritty electric stuff, and my dad likes the real stripped down Delta blues type stuff, Lightning Hopkins, and Sun House, stuff like that.
Yeah, that's I don't know. Like, I like that. I think that's very important to have. I mean, even if your music is focused on hip-hop, I think it's great to have a well-rounded influence, so especially thinking about, various beats and everything else and stuff.
For sure. Yeah, James Brown was God in our house. It's my mom's all-time favorite. And, before I even knew the connection of how much he was sampled and had influenced hip-hop.
Right.
I was certainly knew everything about his catalog, so. And then I have brothers who were 7 and 8 years older than me, so I remember some of my earliest memories of cassette tapes. I must have been only 5 or 6 when that, let's see, I think it was 1988, License to Ill came out. It's probably 6 or 7 years old, I remember all those tapes in their room, so as early as I can remember, I was hearing that as well, and Run DMC, and the Fat Boys, and Tone Loc, and all that stuff, so, hip-hop was some of the first music I ever heard.
Yeah, what a great record, License Ill. That's just, still
holds up, as most of the Beastie albums do. Paul's Boutique is my favorite, and it, to me, I always say it sounds like it could come out tomorrow.
Yeah.
People would be like, oh man, this is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I was just actually talking about it the other night, with a friend, last night, and, but that Beastie Boys video that came out just a little while back, that, Fight for Your Right Revisited, that they shot. That,
oh yeah, I didn't see that.
It was almost like a short movie, it was like 23 minutes or whatever, something like that, and but it was like the whole thing that happened after the party. But it's all, they hired like a bunch of actors, so Seth Rogen and Danny McBride and I forget who from Lord of the Rings and stuff. What's his name?
Anyway, whatever. Oh, no, I forget his name now. But
Elijah Wood.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Elijah Wood, yeah. So those three are Ad Rock, MCA, and
I think I've never heard about that. Maybe yeah. I saw a clip of it online, but I didn't know it was short film style.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's all original Beastie Boys music throughout the whole thing, but they play these characters and stuff, and it's pretty awesome. But I was there's a part where like Will Ferrell's like in this limo and he's playing the cowbell and doing this stuff, and it was pretty interesting. But anyway, you know, those guys had such a stamp on pop culture and everything.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. They're definitely heroes of mine. And I always say with the Beastie Boys specifically and skateboarding were two things early in my life that definitely, put me on my path.
Yeah.
Skateboarding being my first exposure to art, you know, that kind of art, street art, pop art, crazy graphics and then all the culture that went along with it, the clothes and the I grew up in the heart of that and definitely made me who I am today.
Sure. So I said Anita Ride was where I started taking notice. Just a great video, and I loved seeing the shots of St. Louis and stuff. Like, it was very exciting for me to see a guy coming from my hometown, and getting this, this beautiful video, and then getting some notoriety and stuff like that. That video got a lot of attention.
We were real fortunate with that. I was real happy. That was directed by Red Wall Studios from San Jose, California. So they flew out here, and we had one day really to shoot the whole thing, and so everything had to be like perfect. We did like 15-hour day or something. We didn't even stop for food. But we nailed it. Finally, it all came together, and then, we had the number one spot on Indie Music TV for 4 or 5 months with that video, and California Music Channel, New York City, so we got a lot of cable placements with it, and it ran in Foot Locker stores worldwide for a month. Hip Hop Canada writing it up, we got a little notice, so we're trying to follow all that up with. We're sitting on plenty of music.
Sure. What now? I'm pretty involved with the St. Louis like local rock, and I know like we have the Point, and the Point plays they have the Sunday night local show, and Cornbread throws some love to some of the local guys for his hour. Is there a lot of local hip-hop getting played on the radio around town?
Well, I should give a shout-out to DJ Will Wander on 88.1.
Yep.
Spins our records regularly.
Yeah.
There's been a few other shows on 88.1 that have blessed us with spins. And can't say enough great things about 88.1, period. I've been listening to it my whole life. There used to be a local hour on 104.1, which is the big commercial rap station. I don't think they do it anymore, sadly. But
I know there's a ton of things going on with local hip hop in St. Louis here, and like guys that are really hustling and doing big things.
For sure, there's a lot of people right on right on the brink of whatever the next level that they're hoping to go to right now, but it's awesome. It's great to see, and I always say to people that I feel like St. Louis, the fact that it's kind of a tough market and it's there's not a lot of money to go around. Well, the upside to that is there's not a lot of competition, and everybody's really cool with each other. And I think the unity here. Amongst, I can only really speak for the hip hop scene, but I'm in with a lot of the other music scenes as well, and I see it there too.
Sure.
The unity has got to be unprecedented just compared to some other cities, because people here are just like, even if it's totally different lane from what you do or whatever, you can see them, you can say what's up, have a pleasant conversation. People lending each other gear, whatever. It's just a great city for stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, I just saw it. Firsthand this week, a friend of mine, a band called Oak Steel and Lightning,
Ryan Kemp.
Kemp, yep. All of his
all of his gear was two blocks down here.
Yep. And But it was super cool to see how many people stepped up to already setting up shows to help them.
I ran into him last night actually at the gas station. I told him I would play at the fundraiser show if there was one.
I think that's right. What you're saying, echoing that sentiment, man. Because like, people are willing to step up and help out wherever they can. And so I think that's awesome to see the community that St. Louis is offering here with them.
For sure.
You know, regardless of genre or whatever you know. So.
Yeah. And it's been, I moved here as more or less an outsider. I didn't know anybody here, and it's been nothing but love.
Yeah. Yep. Excuse me. I'm still trying to kick this allergy nonsense.
Again.
So I'm doing a little homework, trying to learn a little more about some of your music. I found a video on there, I guess it was like 2010, that country thing.
Yeah.
That was making me laugh. That was some pretty good run. Was something like a scientist with a pork stick or something like that?
Happy your neighbors can't even pass fourth grade, but everybody's a scientist with a pork stick.
Yeah, there you go.
So. Yeah, that was an old joke, song that I wrote just kind of fucking around, and then ended up becoming that song that almost haunted me in a bit. You know, everybody wanted me to play at shows.
Oh, sure.
Still do sometimes.
Yeah.
It's all fun.
It's a great reference, because, I don't know, there's so many of those things that are just St. Louis, nobody else really knows what a pork steak is. Nobody knows what gooey butter cake or toasted raviolis and all this stuff.
Or a St. Paul sandwich.
Yeah, so I love that those references in there. That's obviously very near and dear to me. So
yeah, well, I stick to the old Hemingway, write what you know.
Yeah.
So there it is. Take it or leave it. I've got a song coming out pretty soon. It's kind of a 2.0 version of that, in a sense. And we're actually filming a video for that in about 4 weeks out near Gerald and Rosebud, Missouri, where I got some pretty amazing locations locked up. I'll keep those under wraps for right now. But worth the drive, let's put it that way.
Yeah, that's what I did in that video, and kind of what you were saying about the skateboarding culture and stuff was there was a lot of the graffiti art and all that stuff, all the different pop art that you were talking about and stuff, and that was a lot of fun to see all
for
these,
sure.
All
I grew things. Up in a really rural area, log cabin rural, when I was young, so back then. When I would see the city on Sesame Street and shit, I was just obsessed with the city, everything, buildings, graffiti, whatever. So still I am. I've lived here 10 years, but I'm still obsessed with the city, and people get online and check out our videos, they'll see I live here on south side of St. Louis and shoot almost all of our videos within a few square miles of my house.
Right.
To me, it's all fascinating.
Sure. Yeah. What? So we were talking a lot of things kind of in the works. We got some things that are happening behind the scenes and gearing up to do a little video series.
Yeah, we're about to really drop a ton of music, kind of relentlessly. So we've been filming a lot of videos lately, and I got two video series that we're going to be putting out soon. One we're calling Plastic Rock. It's a 5-part series where we are flipping classic rock songs. So that should be fun. Kind of something familiar in there for a lot of people, but totally, our complete new take on them. So
yeah,
should be interesting to see kind of reactions those get. And then I'm also doing another 5-part video series called Old Fashioned Raps, where it's no gimmicks, no hooks, no nothing. It's, classic beats. Ace is a master of really technical beat making, the way that it used to be done.
Right.
And so I've really tried to step my game up on the technical aspects of rapping and doing it, the right way over the right beats. which may sound silly, but to anybody that's ever done it knows that that's some of the hardest part is of putting stuff together. So, long story short, we've got five great ones filmed on video that we're going to be dropping those here pretty soon, yeah. Too.
Is that, now talking to a lot of these people, it just seems like nobody really knows what to do with the music industry right now. Like, you know, some people are focusing on records, some people are putting out EPs, some people are just doing the singles,
right.
Some are doing the music videos like yourself, you're talking about the, you know, doing the videos, and I don't know, I don't think there's any right or wrong answer or any way to put out music, but I think everybody's just kind of confused right now on how to sell records and how to,
sure.
You know, how to sell music.
Yeah.
And
there is no one right answer because it's different for everybody.
Sure.
And, you know, different bands completely rely on the live income. Other bands rely on placement income.
Yeah.
Other bands rely on record sales, merch sales. I know some bands that I have a friend that has a great quote. He says, "I don't sell music, I sell t-shirts."
Sure.
So it's different for everybody. We're focused on kind of the festival circuit right now, so yeah, we're putting out a lot of content online, free, to kind of amp up some excitement with the crowd that hopefully we're gonna land a couple spots next year that will have us on that path. That'll be our revenue path.
The festivals, like you're saying, those are it's a big deal, man. I mean, you got all like just. It's just like these crazy lineups, and it's cool to see locally. You know, Lutefest is starting to get up there with some of the big names. You know, it's like whatever, five, six years they've been doing it now, or something like that. And they're, but I think they said this year they had the most people coming in from over 100 miles away. So like they're getting more national,
getting more
attention
national, for sure.
And then they're also this year they also had like seven local acts on the bill, so I thought that was really nice.
I think that's awesome too.
Yeah,
and I think it's smart, especially in St. Louis, where you know, if you don't do that, you get some resistance from people here locally. They don't want to be taken advantage of and have our scene have somebody come in with big money and throw a big festival and not include locals. So smart on Lutefest part. They should keep that
sure.
up. It's great.
And I think this was their most successful year, I believe. So, like, I'm sure that's
no
only
reason
going.
Not to keep it
yeah,
going. Yeah,
I'm sure it's
going to
grow more local artists and everything else.
For
and,
sure.
So, anyway, but yeah, that I mean, you got some, like I said, again, all over the country, you got some of these big festivals, and I don't know. I think for a lot of people, I can't, you know. I've never been an artist or do any of the festival stuff, but it seems like I hear a lot of them say they like doing that because it's a great opportunity for them just like to hang out with their friends all day.
Right, it's good pay. You go one place for 2 days or whatever and you go home
right.
instead of grinding it out, you know, so
but
it's ideal for a lot of reasons.
Sure, and a lot of these bands, you know, they're friends, but they don't ever get to see each other because they're all
right.
on the road going the other way and stuff, so
yep.
So it's nice where they can meet up in the summer and hang out. And
totally true.
So
stay overnight. You don't have to jump in the car and
right.
go right away. You know what I mean? Have some real meals.
Yeah.
That's it, man. That's the ideal, I think. So
yeah.
Why not shoot for the ideal?
Sure. So are you looking to do more touring and stuff?
No, I'm going to go hopefully here in probably the beginning of spring, end of winter, like February, go do a little short mini tour in California and then just come back. I'm not trying to do anything extended.
Right.
I got everything is going, moving so fast right now that I'm sticking here and sticking to the plan and shooting all towards basically next summer.
Right. Yeah, that's one thing I do talk about a lot with a lot of guests, you know, especially being here in St. Louis, is how ideal St. Louis is to tour out of. I mean, there's a lot of...
Perfect, yeah.
There's, you know, right in the middle of the map and stuff,
yep.
so...
And there's so much you can do here regionally.
Yeah.
No reason not to.
Right, yeah. You can make a weekend round up to a lot of big surrounding cities and stuff. And
for sure, Kansas City, Lawrence, Columbia, Springfield, yeah. Chicago. I just went up to Chicago, I don't know, a month ago or something, and played at the Double Door. Kind of a legendary venue there, so that was a treat to play there, and had a blast, man. It was awesome. Yeah. Nothing but love up there, so we'll try and do that again soon.
Yeah. You do have a show here in St. Louis coming up.
Yeah, that's this, right. Thank you. That's
get this plug out there.
November 19th, 8 p.m. Doors are at 7. That's at Pops in Sauget, Illinois.
Yeah.
It's the FTI Army Invasion. One of my homies, Matthew Mix Goodman, a local St. Louis videographer. If anybody's in St. Louis looking for video work, that's my guy. That's his crew and company, his homies. It's going to be a big show. A lot of them, I know specifically Strategy, who was had a huge following here in St. Louis. I'm assuming still does, but hasn't done a live show in a long time. So,
yeah.
Seen a lot of excitement around that. So,
sure.
I'm happy to be over there opening with them. Different lane than I'm normally have been in. Don't know a lot of those dudes, so stoked to make a new connection.
Yeah, man. That's what I think that's what it's all about, too, is just networking. You know,
absolutely.
It's like,
yeah, you know, I always tell people that. You know, St. Louis, if you, you know, you can have three or four different little incarnations of whatever it is you do, and I have four or five different sets. I could play an art gallery one night and a gangster party the next night, yeah. And get a lot more work that way.
Sure.
Stay versatile.
Yeah. With the video series and things, are you looking to put all those on a record or drop an album or...
Well, yeah, I mean, we're sitting on probably two albums worth of finished material, so, the video series are more of, something to just kind of stir up a little excitement and,
right.
A way to just drop some more material as we work through the next, you know, line of singles.
Sure.
But we've got a bunch of stuff, you know, lined up, ready to go, so, all coming real soon.
Right. The video's before the end of the year, you said, or something?
Yeah, we'll probably put the first one out. You know, we haven't really nailed down a date, but I'm guessing within the next 4 to 6 weeks, we'll start putting stuff out, and
yeah.
It'll be pretty relentless after that.
Yeah. Are you allowed to talk about the one you played for me? Or is that the Aerosmith?
Uh-huh.
That was very cool. I'm excited. You gave me a little teaser, a little taste of it. And
that's one that we just filmed a video for that last Friday. So, I don't know what order these will come out in, but that's part of the classic rock series that we did.
But, I mean, if that's just a sample of what's to come, I think it's going to be very well received.
We're pretty stoked on it.
It sounded awesome. Yeah, you were saying some other things that you have in the works with that, and I think it could go over real well. I think it's going
to
be...
You have a lifetime of listening to classic rock, so to boil it down to just five songs and nail them and make it perfect, we were able to do that.
Yeah. How does that work? Like, do you... you just give credit to them, but...
These aren't things we'll be selling commercially.
Sure. So as long as you don't sell it.
As long as you don't sell it. Yeah, all right.
I was wondering, like, because there's a lot of that, like, you know, people, even just, like, recently, there was something with, Tom Petty, and I think it was, I don't remember who, anyway, but he sued somebody and won because they... used a song or one of his things or whatever in it. But it's like, I just, you know, obviously hip-hop's a lot of samples and stuff.
Sure.
And,
my stance has always been, if it's really making a ton of money, then it's only fair that they should be getting their fair share. And if it's not, then who gives a shit?
Yeah, right.
So that's pretty much what hip-hop operates under. You know, there's even underground records that come out commercially that have samples that aren't cleared, but... these guys aren't really, like, raking home a bunch of dough. If sure. anything, that's doing a favor for the artist that was sampled and maybe turning a new audience onto them. If it's a Kanye West record or something, then yeah, sure, he owes Tom Petty.
Yeah. Yeah. Who are some guys you are listening to now? Like, are you still listening to a lot of the older stuff, or do you find listening to current stuff?
I listen to a lot of like soul, the neo soul R&B, you know, resurgence of music with kind of started a few years ago with like the Daptone thing and Raphael Sadiq and a lot of records that came out, and so I still stick with a lot of that. That new Nick Waterhouse record I've been listening to a lot in the last couple weeks. Hip hop wise, I really like Prof's record this year. Fuck with some of the Strange Music stuff.
Yeah. I met Prof with Atmosphere. I saw him open up one of his shows and at the pageant.
He's a wild animal. Yeah. I opened for him at the Firebird.
Yeah.
April, I guess. Or May or something, but it's a good time.
For sure. But yeah, that's he's part of that Rhymesayers.
Mm-hmm.
That's just another great collective of
for sure, yeah, and they're a big influence on me, and when I was in college they were coming through our town all the time, and I was going to most of the shows, and there'd be, you know, 10 of us there and chill with them, and then just a few years later they were building it a little bigger, and then now to see 20 year anniversary and they playing Coachella and shit, it's kind of cool. It's almost, you know, it's like watching your friends make it.
Sure. Yeah, that I always thought that was that Atmosphere, it's just like the way he writes, and like the slug, you know, like it's poetic, man. He,
for
like,
sure.
He writes, and he's a storyteller and stuff, and like
he was an influence on me as a songwriter for sure.
Yeah,
he could make sometimes what I would consider something real corny. he could make it real interesting,
sure,
which is a gift.
Yeah. Now, when you're you're writing, I mean, a lot of yours, it's very serious, you know, you're serious about it, but it's very comical. Some of the lines are, you know, funny and stuff. Like, is that conscious, like, as you're doing it, or, like...
Yeah, absolutely. I like to sneak in, you know, personal beliefs and concepts.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, look at it like this. Like, when I was younger, I would write a lot of, like, more political songs, more overtly, you know, statement, a message, facts, that kind of stuff crammed in there. Then I realized I don't like to listen to that, really. Maybe once, if it's really well done, but after that, it's like, it's almost like listening to an essay or something.
Yeah.
So, over the years, I refine that down to where, you know, you make your little point. Each line in a song can be a concept if you do it right.
Mm-hmm.
All still within a concept if you want. So those are the best songs when you can find that medium there, I guess, where
sure
everybody can be having fun and you can still slip in, you know, the point you wanted to make too.
Right. Yeah, it's I don't know, I don't know if you hear it at all, but I feel like kind of like Ludacris at times. Like, he writes a lot of, you know, they're fun songs, but he writes a lot of just funny lines that are, you know, and you know, it's like, it's just some great rhymes. But I don't know if you ever hear that comparison, or if anybody, I don't know. I just, like, he's one I think of when I hear that, like, kind of like that style. Like,
oh, for sure, he's a master of that, and I always thought, I know Ludacris could do a lot more. I've heard him do more.
Yeah.
He's a master of being able to really refine it down to where, you know, it's pop music, but
sure.
But he is hella creative, no doubt, and he knows how to space those lines out and catch people's attention.
Right. I watched this thing. I mean, obviously, I've been a big fan of hip-hop for a long time, but I never... I don't know, I've obviously never been a musician or to analyze it the way, but I watched this you know, like clip. I need to go like find the full. I'm sure it's a full movie, documentary or whatever. But it was like talking about how like breaking down like a bar and like how like, you know, rapping on the different beats and stuff, and how like, you know, how many different, all these guys, like, you know, whatever, Eminem to B.I.G. and all these guys, how all they all have their own rhythm and their own styles, and they can rhyme multiple rhymes inside of a line and all, like.
Oh yeah,
it was just it was crazy.
There is a bit of a science to it, you know. There can be anyway, but yeah. I liken it to the fact when you hear Carlos Santana play, or Jerry Garcia, or, you know, Queen, the guitar from Queen, yeah. You know, you hear that sound, it's so identifiable, and that's what a good rapper is the last instrument to be added to the beat, you know, that's what differentiates rappers from some vocalists is that it's a lot more about flow, there's a lot more going on, so it's essentially like another instrument on the beat. So yeah, finding that space, your own cadence, your own rhythm, all of that, and then, you know, getting a style to it is what makes people like Big and Eminem and people like that, Jay-Z, superstars, because they have it. When you hear it, you go, that's exactly, I know exactly who that is, and they rhyme like that. And you know, if anybody tries to write a song in Eminem's rhyme pattern now, it sounds corny, because it sounds like we all know exactly what you're trying to do, right? It's dope because he did it first.
Sure. Yeah, that, but I totally get it. I think you're, you know, when I hear I Need a Ride or whatever, you know, that's a Scrub song, you know? Like, I can hear, like you're saying, that identifiable thing, character to your voice when you're rapping and stuff, you know? It doesn't sound like the rest of these guys do. And then all those guys, I go, you know, just... And every time you hear a Andre or a Big Boy or whatever, you know,
for sure,
all these rappers, all the other guys doing it and stuff, they all have that identifiable character to their voices and stuff. And,
yeah, that's what's up. You know, it's just time. I've been doing this a long time, and so you eventually get more comfortable with who you actually are and dial it in.
Sure.
Yeah. It's a benefit of maturity.
Yeah. So yeah, come out on November 19th over Pops. You have tickets to sell?
Yep, we got, well, they're free.
They're free.
Bunch of tickets, so people in St. Louis can hit me up on any social media. Instagram at Scrub Music, Twitter Scrub Music, Facebook ScrubAsa.com. We could probably catch up somewhere and do tickets.
Sure. I like to throw your picture online and ask if anybody has questions. Just get a little fan participation. And we mentioned Matthias and the Pirates. And Matthias James wrote in, and I'm not too sure what all this means. So it might be an inside joke. But he said, be sure to ask Scrub about the time he slayed Manther with the Sword of Orion.
That's a good one. Well, I believe that is a bit of an inside joke to the fact that Matthias and I are both nerds.
Yeah.
And we also did a song, I guess I can't remember, it was a year or two ago together, but it's called Second Star to the Right, and it's our sort of ballad to nerdism. And actually, that's another plug. I believe that's November 11th. Matthias and the Pirates are opening at the Rock House for... Afrobeat funk band from Chicago. Yeah, I think their name is Esso.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'll be joining them to do that song. And I'll be there partying the rest of the night. So yeah.
Carmen Jones also is on there.
That's right. Yep.
Friends of the show.
Correct. So yeah, November 11th, the Rock House is another night to definitely make it out if you can.
Yeah, definitely. I threw a little party over the summer for the like second year birthday party for the show. And I had Matthias and the Pirates come out.
Nice.
And it was probably the first hip hop show at Broadway Oyster Bar, because they don't do a lot of hip hop over there.
No, they don't.
It was a lot of fun to.
Yeah, they're pros, man. Everybody can get down. He knows how to rock a crowd. So does Dase.
Yeah.
LB, they're the shit.
Sure. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I mean, the best part for me as a host of the evening was I had a lot of people come up, like, you know, not necessarily knowing Matthias and the Pirates. They just kind of come up, a friend of mine or friends of the other bands or whatever it might have been. And they were like, you know, who are these people? And like, what is this? Because like, this is awesome. And yeah. Like, you know, it's like, I'm not really, you know, there. Some of them said like, I'm not really into hip hop, but I love what they're doing. And that's what.
I've had a lot of friends come to shows that I've shared with them and say the exact same thing. Like, man, that group, that was, I loved that. Yeah. And what a testament to, Matthias has been. There's another guy who's been in dozens of groups and reincarnations and continually reinvents himself and makes dope music.
Yeah.
And still finding new fans. It's awesome.
For sure. So, yeah. That'd be cool. It'd be nice to see you up there.
Yeah, man. Come out if you can.
Yeah.
I believe that's November 11th.
Yeah, that's going to be a
good
party. Going
off the top of the head on that one. But.
Yeah. When I ask those, that's a lot of what winds up being is your buddies with some kind of inside joke or whatever.
Right.
You know, it's like, yeah. It's always fun. It's always fun to see where it goes.
For sure.
You want to throw some tunes on here, or what are you thinking? You got anything in particular you want to play?
No, man. I think rocking all these. This is a playlist of Ace's newest beats that I've got things cooking on.
Right.
So all of these will be something you'll hear again in the near future, and
sure.
I might have an exclusive I could throw on here at the end, but I had to take a look and email that to
you. Sure. Well, we can always play Anita Ride or something too.
Word.
We talked about that in the video.
And we have a video out for a song called Ozark Outlaw.
Yeah.
People
yeah.
can find that on YouTube, shot here in St. Louis on Cherokee Street.
I watched that as well earlier, so.
Yeah, and then subscribe to the YouTube channel, and there's going to be a bunch of shit coming soon.
Yeah. So, yeah, get out, get involved, follow Scrub online, grab some of the tunes, and come out to Pops.
Pops.
And see them do it live.
November 19th.
Yeah.
Thanks, Shane.
Yeah, thank you so much, man. It's been awesome. So.
No doubt, man.
I appreciate it.
Likewise.
Like a dice roll, misery is symphony, and me, I'm the maestro. Now I'm in the streets, lights out, my nice clothes. Things that I'm eating just might make mice glow. I've been on a mission and they pushing the panic button. Y'all fall for anything, maybe you should stand for something. We free radicals, and they calling us cancerous. Victims of a system that just can't handle us. A bit manic, you gone, wish that you had vanished. I got a big advantage, I'm more than you bitches can manage. I'm organic. Mix with some sick mechanics. I'm in Tijuana lit, bitch, I don't speak a lick of Spanish. Kid Cupid, keeping it stupid beautiful. I don't do the trends, the top 10 of the usual. Keep you getting loose with a few pharmaceuticals. I was never fit, never meant for a cubicle. I ain't here to make dance songs. I'm the goddamn man when the cam's on. Like, yes, I reflect, like, damn it, I'm handsome. Flash a crooked yellow smile until the day I land in the mansion. His pants on, one leg at a time. I'm ahead of my time, any minute might go phantom. Never you mind, shit, I'll be better in time. I got some size 12s, so I got something to land on. And no more alcohol, pouring it out, y'all. That's my downfall, I'm an Ozark outlaw. Been on the bench like the one out Southpaw. Doc's back in the box, yo, no more house calls. And some forgot to be showing up on the radar. Everything's a gamble and I don't play cards. I'm no star, but I think I'm a quasar. So I stay awake super late just to make art. God damn it, I'm cool, kids. Want some cool whip left out in the sun at high noon shit. My loose lips, I'm more than a few ships. But I still keep pushing, cause the pudding where the proof is. I'm not stopping. Bottom dollar with a blue collar. Got a problem, tell your mama to holler. See, it's no more nice guy. No more high fives. No more sidelines. I'm out of my night. And this is strictly for my nine zombies, nine copies, the players and the hot mommies. Check it,
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.